all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever?
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on the respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free, 888 389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. We have an additional number, area code 415-287-0074. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the show, Universal Spiritual Connection. As many of you are very aware, I'm always truly honored to be in the presence of each and every one of you. It is exciting to be able to have this opportunity to really make a difference in each and every one of your lives. And this show tonight will prove itself to be, again, another great show of wealth of wisdom, knowledge that we can utilize and a greater understanding. So tonight, our show title is The Sensitive Children, especially of on our world today. I'd like to personally invite each and every one of you to my show page with bbsradio.com. As you all know, I have a wealth of information for your convenience posted, and I would like to invite you all to take your time to explore our wonderful, wonderful guest this evening. It's especially exciting for me because I have an opportunity tonight to bring a bit of home to the mainland, and so our guest tonight, as you may have guessed, is indeed from the spirit of Hawaii, the true aloha. Our guest's name is Geraldine St. Joseph, a clairvoyant, empathic, psychic reader utilizing a variety of divinity tools. She enjoys helping others through her spiritual gifts. She also combines metaphysical talents with an education to offer different spiritual guidance services, ranging from couples guidance to business consulting. She has a BA in communications with concentrations in law and psychology. She has been reading for others since the age of 11 years old and has offered her psychic services professionally since 1994. She also is a highly effective motivational speaker, delivering talks on various subjects, seminars, and classes, which do include intuitive tarot, completing the circle, path to self-empowerment, power of gemstones, living from the heart series, and more. I'd like to share some of the websites, and that is www.voiceofspirit.com or psychicinhawaii.com. I'd like to remind all of you and encourage all of you, there's three other websites as well, and throughout the show we will share those additional websites with you throughout the show. So without further delay, let's all give Geralyn a warm welcome to the show. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you very much.
It is so exciting for me to have you on the show tonight. By the way, how's home?
It's rainy and cold.
I'll be right over.
We're having such an odd winter this year. It's been colder and wetter than normal, and we've actually been having to wear coats in the morning and things like that. Which, of course, for everybody on the mainland, they're going, oh, yeah, whatever, because it's like 65 degrees. Like, that's not cold. It's cold
well,
to us.
I can definitely contest that that is cold, 65 degrees in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here going, I'm finding that hard to grasp. You obviously understand that, huh?
Oh, definitely. Like, brr.
Well, it's really interesting because, as you know, I'm actually in Arizona, and we all of a sudden got hit with a heat wave on our end, so it's been up in the 90s, and I'm going,
wow.
I don't think I'm ready for this one yet.
Yeah, I think you took our weather. I think we must have swapped or something.
Must have. They must have known I was bringing you over to this side, huh?
Exactly.
So let me ask you, because it's really exciting when I have a bit of my own home that I am able to share with all of these wonderful listeners that tune into my weekly show. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose to talk about the sensitive children in our world today.
I am a native of Philadelphia, actually. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm a city kid. I grew up in the inner city there. And back in 99 was the first time my daughter and I moved here. And I think from having a child, it heightened your awareness of the other kids around you. Being from a big family, I'm one of the older kids. I've always been around a lot of children. I've definitely seen changes over time. The kids that are born today that are coming up just seem to, I want to almost say, remember more. And because of that, their parents are like, well, I can't treat this child or discipline this child the same way that I was disciplined. It's not working. And I've been having quite a few clients come to me and ask me questions about that. Like, I don't know what to do. My daughter's only 5, and she tells me things, and she acts like she knows everything, but the problem is that 9 out of 10 times she's right. So I don't know exactly how to deal with that, because the parent-child relationship is changing. They're coming in, and you still have to be a parent, but they're coming in with so much more knowledge and so much more of a sense of self that they're teaching us just as much as we're teaching them, and there has to be mutual respect there. And if there's not, then the relationships don't go well, we'll just say. So that's what prompted me.
Absolutely. And it was very refreshing. You know, I have done other shows, you know, and we've touched briefly, you know, on like the indigo children. And there, of course, there's the crystal children, the emerald children, the rainbow children that have been really flooding onto the planet. And, you know, one of my main concerns was, I sometimes ponder on, you know, I feel that we are so way behind in preparation for these wonderful enlightened beings that have been coming onto the planet, because even I feel our school system has not necessarily been prepared for them. So with their lack of sometimes understanding the dynamics of how these children's minds work or their sensitivity, is that they attempt to put a label so they can feel better about what's going on. And what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, exactly. These children, even defining them in sections like the indigos and so forth, I mean, that's nice and it helps give a little bit of understanding and everything, but the children I meet and have met can't be put in a box. They cannot be labeled because they're so vast. They're just completely different. My daughter, when she was born, I mean, the day she was born, she scared the doctor because when she was in the midst of being born, as soon as her eyes were wiped off, she looked right at the doctor, and the doctor jumped back and was like, oh, my God, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've never had a child look through me like that. And she could raise her head. She could roll on her side. I mean, this is from birth, and this is after 25-and-a-half-hour labor. So it was pretty amazing. I must have had about 8 doctors in the room within the first 15 minutes that she was born just looking at her like, what is going on here? And I know at this point she's not unique because I've met a lot of other parents whose children were born the same way. It's like they hit the ground running. They knew. I mean, she started talking at 4 months old. She spoke in sentences by the time she was a year. By the time she was 2, she sounded like a little mini adult. So
and
I
they
think it's
do
about
too.
Oh yeah, and it's about the parents getting ready and the parents being flexible enough to understand that everyone that comes through is different. They're all different. You can't do the same thing with all of them. You have to really allow them to show themselves to you and get to know them as an individual to be able to really work with them and deal with them. Because they each come in with special talents. And I don't think that the school systems are ready, but I think they're getting ready. I think they're getting there. And it's more because the kids are forcing it. And because
I agree with you on that.
Oh, yeah. They're just like, oh, no, I'm not dealing with this. But the teachers are really coming to, I know the school my daughter goes to, she goes to Enchanted Lake Elementary. They are exceptional. She's had excellent, excellent teachers there. And most of the teachers have an attitude like, you know, whatever the kids can bring to the table, let them bring it. You know, every child learns differently, and just because you learn differently doesn't mean that that's an issue. They're really trying to expand the educational system to include different types of learning, because a lot of these kids learn the opposite way that old school was. Old school was through rote, and I still believe in, you know, making a child memorize their multiplication tables. The thing is, not all of us are going to do it the same way. I didn't do it the same as any of my classmates. I did things completely differently, and I had teachers who tried to force me into a peg hole, and then I had other teachers who were like, wow, that's an unusual way of doing it, but it's right. It's just not the way I would do it. So coming at it with an attitude of looking at it on a vaster scale is imperative. And even the kids that have been held down, held back, restricted. As they're getting older, they're still breaking free. They're breaking through it. So it's a matter of all of us coming together and being supportive of these children and the changes that they're bringing.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, and pardon me, can we actually take a peep into the family dynamics?
Sure. In general, or did you have a specific?
One of the thoughts that, you know, that I had that I seem to ponder on quite a bit is, you know, because I have my own grandchildren. I love children in general. They're just, to me, is very precious. You know, they always put this huge smile on my face. And, you know, for us to really grasp how we can help these incredible sensitive children, what is it that the family dynamics that can actually do to support these children?
I would say there's a range of things. The first thing most that I've seen with these kids is rigidness does not work. Not listening to them, that doesn't work. Back in the day, it was children are seen and not heard. And my daughter's father actually says that. I can't believe that somebody in this day and age still says that. But there are people who actually still believe that. That does not work. These are the kids who, from when they're 2 and 3 years old, will reason with you why you should give them that cookie and why it's a good time for them to have that cookie. And if they can't, they'll negotiate with you. If they can't have that cookie right now, well, then maybe it's okay to have the cookie after dinner if they eat thus and so. Like, they'll negotiate and discuss things and talk them out. And you know what? It's great. And my daughter, I know she's 11 years old right now, and as I've raised her, I've been criticized a lot by people around me about my method of parenting. And on the same hand, they all remark about how great it is, what a wonderful relationship we have, and how great it is that I don't have to worry about her because she's her own person. She knows what's right and what's wrong, and she refuses to do what's wrong, and that's it. She has a great sense of justice and integrity. And I'm like, that's going to talk to her. You know, you can't have both. You're either going to have a rebel or you're going to have somebody who is a teammate. And that's the way a lot of these kids are. You really have to take them under your wing. And they have to be, I have to be careful what I say. It's a, you treat them with respect. There's a difference between treating them as equals and treating them with respect. Intellectually, they are your equal. Spiritually, in a lot of ways, they are your equal. But you're still the parent, so they still need boundaries. They still need guidelines. The thing is, when we give them these guidelines, it's not a don't do that because I told you so. It's don't do that because I'm afraid you're going to get hurt, or don't do that because this can happen and this is the consequence. With every discipline, there has to be some kind of learning, some kind of education.
Absolutely.
And I was very lucky because my father realized that. That's the way my father taught me. So that's the way I raised my daughter, whereas my mother, everything was no immediately.
Yeah.
No matter what you, did I have a glass? No. You know, I was just going to ask for water. You know, didn't even listen to the question. The answer is no.
Well, so, I was asking a three-year-old, and I said, mm-hmm. you know, what are some of your challenges, is, you know, with your spiritual connection in the world that you find yourself on? And it was so profound what this three-year-old had to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it proceeded to tell me that it was an adult feeling as though it was trapped in this tiny little body. He says, mm-hmm. our intelligence is very high, and if you can just envision a large adult caught up in this tiny little body, and we want to be able to communicate and exercise, you know, the knowledge and the wisdom we have, it can be very frustrating because there's times when we're stumbling because we aren't able to always grasp that there's some form of limitations. Our little mm-hmm. bodies don't let us do the things we, our adult self is that understands. And I mm-hmm. thought, wow, I sat there and I reflected on this and I went, I guess that would be pretty frustrating. You know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what's yeah. amazing to me is that, you know, they know exactly what they're talking about. I have found mm-hmm. the children in our world today walk with high integrity along mm-hmm. with truth speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they have such a loving and beautiful way as they go about that.
Definitely. Definitely. And it's just amazing. I have a friend who has a toddler, and when he's alone in the car with me, some of the things he comes out with, and he told me, he said that his daddy is really angry a lot of the time, and it's his job to make his daddy laugh. That's his job. I was like, wow. I said, that really shouldn't be your job. He's the adult. He needs to take care of things. And he said, no, it's my job to make him happy.
Yes.
Because he can't be happy on his own. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
And it's just, it's really, even the insights that they give when they look at one another. I listened to the kids counseling one another about their parents. You know, how do you deal with this parent? How do you deal with that parent? And conversations I don't remember kids having when I was young. And it just has got progressively more more apparent. Like when I was a kid, I know growing up I felt like an absolute alien. I still feel like an alien a lot of times. And there were very, very few kids around me. Yeah, to relate. Very few kids around me. I didn't have a lot of friends. A lot of kids would talk to me and come to me and ask me questions and things. But I didn't have anybody that I could talk to besides other adults, or besides adults because I was a kid at the time. Whereas I see my daughter has a whole support system of friends, which I'm so happy about, you know, because being a 8, 9, 10-year-old.
That's right, because you know, like yourself and myself and so many others, you know, that wasn't necessarily the equation as we embarked upon our own journey until, you know, we started finding each other and realizing, oh my gosh, where you're just like me and stuff. I know that was very true when I came here to the mainland, you know, because in Hawaii, as you know, and we do have a caller, so I wanted to take a brief moment to thank our caller for their patience, and we will be inviting you on the show in just one moment. But getting back to Hawaii, as you know, it's just a natural way of life, of way of being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was quite an awakening for me to actually come to the mainland and realize that a natural state of being was not necessarily, you know, it had labels, it had, you know, it was this newness, it was this buzzword about, you know, being spiritually connected, and silly me, I said, well, what's that mean?
Exactly.
It was so funny, but let me take a brief moment here, and let's go ahead and invite our caller, Marcus from Pennsylvania. Aloha and welcome to the show.
From New Hampshire, but that's okay.
Ah.
Well, it's East Coast. Right. You know, we're way out west, so it's all the same to us.
Marcus, because I got to bring a little bit of home to the mainland.
Now, I have a question. With the dimensional shifts and everything going on in the Hawaiian area, how do you feel that's going to happen? Is part of Atlantis going to be in that area, do you think, or a new city of light is going to come up from the surface? What do you feel is going to happen with that area?
There's a couple of different things that are going on. I feel like there are definitely temperature changes and shifts in the environment. I feel like there are definitely physical changes that are happening. More than that, though, spiritually, it feels like not just here but also everywhere I've been, there's this dichotomy that's happening where people who practice their spirituality or acknowledge their spirituality are becoming, their vibration is getting higher and higher, whereas those that are base are continuing to become more and more solid. So it just seems like there's this dichotomy and people are really pulling. And when you go places, you can see like a difference when you look at people, because the people who are becoming more and more solid just seem to be, they just don't smile as much. They don't glow the same way. There's just, there's a negativity there. There's an anger. There's a frustration that's there that's constant. Whereas the people who are really practicing their spirituality seem to be moving in a completely different direction. And how that's going to play out, I'm not quite sure, because we've seen several different scenarios and it seems like we've bypassed a few of them. Go ahead.
Right. You know, the question I had is, Leilani and I and a few others had a very powerful teleconference, which she can talk about in a little bit, this past Sunday, which was extremely powerful, and we're going to be having more in the future. And to fully awaken all the light workers, way shores, and the rest of the planet so that it can, they can all fully expand as the three of us have, and then it can then spread out to the rest of the collective consciousness of the planet and so forth. I mean, that's the goal. But my question is, those that have chosen to remain within the lower ego, the pain body, and so forth, who feel that they are not ready for what we are working to bring in, which is 5D Christ consciousness, what do you feel is going to happen with them? Are they still going to be pulled along into the 5D consciousness, or what's going to happen with them?
I don't think they get... I think there's a certain amount of shift that you can drag somebody through, and the rest, they have to release themselves and allow themselves to go through it. I think... there are theories that as this dimensional shift happens, that there will be parallel, almost like a parallel universe that's created, or a parallel Earth, that are on two different vibrational levels, where we get to the point where we don't even see each other anymore. And that's kind of what I see happening.
Ooh, great point, by the way. That's awesome, because you're right. As we become more of the light body, we become more translucent, because what we're basically doing through this process is obviously dropping density, and so we become more and more of the light body, so to speak. And so I really got it when you said that, you know, you can start really observing, you know, the defined difference between those that are, can, even if they're, you know, not necessarily working 24/7 on, you know, doing the work per se, but, you know, keeping their spiritual connection, versus those that, you know, directly choose to, you know, continue doing the same thing that they've been doing all along.
So basically what you're saying is that their illusional reality will continue, and those of us that have done the inner work will simply just vanish into the 5D, New Earth, or beyond that.
Pretty much. You know, doing the work per se, but, you know. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm here.
I guess we got, I want to, real quick, is that I think we lost our caller, and I do want to extend
our
call.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, are you?
Oh, okay.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for a response to that statement, in that that those of us that are raising in our vibration will go up to the 5D New Earth or above that, and simply just disappear, and their illusional reality will continue, will just be gone.
Well, it's like it's two realities that are, they coexist without hitting one another. And I don't know how to exactly to explain it, but there are scientific evidences of there being several different dimensions and realities that do coexist side by side without them actually knowing of one another or feeling one another. And being sensitive, what you do is you can feel some of those alternate realities.
Yes, I have seen them. I mean, in some of my growth process, working multidimensionally, as Leilani knows that I do, is I have visited some of those parallel timelines and so forth, just to know that they do indeed exist. And I interacted with some of them there, and then returned back to where I belonged.
Okay.
And it was definitely an interesting experience.
Weird.
Well, you know what's really interesting, and you know, Marcus, you've brought great questions, by the way, is what I was observing on the islands, and I'm not sure if you can verify this for me or not, is that I was getting drawn immediately to the Big Island, and I observed a beam of light that has, and it seems to be a brand new energy field that has opened up on the Big Island. Are you aware of that? Because I can see it really strong.
Excuse me. Now, are you talking about since the earthquake, in that October earthquake that was, what was it, 2006, that really moved everything around?
Ah,
because
yes.
That felt to me like that opened a lot of stuff up. That was definitely, I mean, it was a physical shift of the landmass, but it also felt like a major energetic shift. And it did feel completely different when we went back to the Big Island after that occurred.
Now, I can actually really see that, and I've had other guests on the show from the islands, and tonight was the first time I've actually been able to actually see that. And so I want to ask you guys, I know that we should be really staying on touch with the sensitive children because that's, you know, very important, but, you know, what's happening in our planet really does affect them greatly, and it's important for all of us to really assist them. With that said, I just wanted to touch on this very quickly because I have been noticing this on the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual level, that there seems to be a really strong tension and pressure in our universe at this time. Are you guys aware of that?
Yes, I can definitely feel it, definitely. And Ilani, one thing which I definitely know is when working with the new technology, with the crystal sphere and so forth, that Ilani and I and others have experienced that I've been bringing in, that it and sharing and giving to others that are ready, so much can be done, and with the collective consciousness, with those tools, which I don't know, Leilani, if you want to expand on that a little bit, and about your experiences with that, and on the last teleconference we did this past Sunday.
Well, the one word that comes to me, awesome, empower, and empowering, I tell you, it's just, you've got to experience to really, truly, and that's what it does for me. You know, many of the listeners of this show have, you know, received downloads in the past on the show, so many of them actually have received it. And for those that have, take those downloads and then multiply that by 10, and you'll have a little bit of a grasp on the empowerment of these downloads. How'd I do, Marcus?
Yeah, very good. Basically, it comes down from Multiverse Creator, Multiverse Christ, and with Metatron. It is a multidimensional crystal sphere with a soul resonance projector, which is part of it, which comes down from the multiverse creator consciousness with all the sacred geometries of the higher universes, of all of the creator living light frequencies, some of which are not really named yet. And it is all basically, you know, there's basically different levels. You have an attunement, like the basic Reiki. You have the integration and activation steps, which are each sequentially higher. And then the next one, which is what this does and more, is the anchoring, so that everyone that receives this is able to anchor these frequencies to Mother Earth for her ascension and ascension of all life. It is strengthens the telepathic communication so that you can basically, when you're working one-on-one or with a large group, bring in their oversouls into the sphere, request for them to bring in their earth and their holographic aspect of their earth plane embodiment aspect, and then you can work with them through that aspect, which will then come into their conscious awareness when they are ready. And one thing that it will definitely be used for is, let's just say in these shifts of the planet that we temporarily lose the internet, we still have this telepathic link through the crystal spheres and everything that it is with everybody, because it's passed on to everyone, and they have it. The more that they work with it, the more that they, more and more, the stronger it gets. It strengthens their telepathic communication, all their clair abilities, and so much more. Because you work with all of the living light frequencies of creator consciousness, all the sacred geometries and so forth, from the multiverse level. if we're in the third dimension, going into the fourth, going up into the fifth, and eventually each one of the releases sequentially go up until we are no longer in a multidimensional universe, and we will then become a higher universe and be able to give birth to a new universe. And as those that are here,
what does this have to do with the new children? I'm just curious. Like, have you been working with kids
Yes.
Have the children helped you with it? Or are there kids in on the project? Or, you know?
No, there are no kids of the physical earth been working with me yet, but I'm sure that will come in time.
Absolutely. And I was actually going to, you know, share that thought with you, Marcus, is because, you know, it's really interesting. I know it's important for the adults to be ready for this wonderful, incredible shift, and at the same time be able to, and that's really great food for thought, because it's really important for us to be able to support the sensitive children, through the transition as well. Wouldn't you agree, Geralyn?
Yes. Well, they're actually supporting us. They're already partway there.
Yes, I stand corrected, because you are like so right on that. But Marcus, I do want to thank you for calling the show. You've shared some great information with all of us, and I want to thank you personally, and God bless to you. Have a great, great night, Marcus. So with that said, Geralyn, you know, one of the things working and, you know, being around sensitive children, getting back into the dynamics within the home environment, I've also realized that one of their needs was a sacred space for themselves where they were able to have quiet time. Mm-hmm. And also music, I found, was very important to them as well. And, you know, give them a place to where they could really reflect, because have you not noticed that with your own daughter?
Well, we live in a studio apartment right now, and she has something called her mouse hole, which is where I am right now, which is a closet under the steps. And it's just big enough for her to fit in with a little television and a couple of her toys, and she comes down here, and this is her space. And she definitely, I don't ever remember, well, I was from a big family. We had a three-bedroom house, five kids. You know, there was no privacy. I don't know what that is. So I don't remember ever needing that or feeling like I wanted it. But my daughter definitely, no matter what the situation we've been in from when she was a baby, she needs her quiet time. And if
Absolutely.
She doesn't get it, there's hell to pay.
Oh, yes. You know, for myself, being an indigo myself, you know, I naturally knew that about myself. It didn't mean I always identified with that, but, you know, I was one of those children where, you know, I could play by myself, and I was, because one of the other elements about sensitive children is that they're extremely creative. And so if they have a lot of different things in their environment to really stimulate that, it's just absolutely amazing.
Well, but sometimes there's too much. Because one thing our society does is we are overindulgent and too indulgent. And the two things that I would say is, first off, don't get your child set up with a computer too early, because it does not help them really manifest their mental capabilities and their imagination. It kind of takes some of that from them. They need quiet time where they can be by themselves with a cardboard box or something small and simple that they can be creative with. It's much more useful to them than to keep giving them things and giving them things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The other thing is that they get very overwhelmed. I know my daughter, from when she was a baby, Christmas time, it would take her until her birthday, which is in June, to open the gifts from Christmas, just because we have a big family. Even if each of us just gave her one thing, she would open up the gift. If she liked it, she sat there and she played with it, and she didn't want to be bothered with the rest of them.
Yes.
It was not a lot of this gimme, 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 which is something that our society kind of compels the kids to do. what's next? What's next? What's next? And they call it like the MTV society and all that, where they want things so quickly and they need to be occupied all the time. It's not that they need to be. It's that we're creating that. From when they're babies, we're in their face constantly. And we are constantly stimulating, so that what we're doing is we are wiring their brains that they need that, and they think that's the way it's supposed to be. So that's something where parents really need to pull back a little bit. It's all right for the baby to be in their crib and play with their feet for hours on end. They're fine.
Yes.
That's the natural way of things, you know.
That's right, because one of the things I did with my own son is that, you know, I would push his bassinet out on the balcony in Hawaii with his little mobile, you know, attached to the bassinet, and you know, would have that soft breeze, and he could hear the chimes, and he would just cool and carry on for just hours, and he was so content. And of course he had the you know, he's listening to the birds singing and so forth, and you know, he was just always a really, really happy child. And that's the key, is simplicity. When you're sharing with your child in their environment, you know, the love of music, or, you know, giving them some crayons and piece of paper, I mean, they just dive right into that. And I've seen that. But I would like to take a moment to invite our next caller, Dory from Pennsylvania. Welcome.
Are you
and
sure?
Aloha.
Aloha, and thank you for the welcome. Hi, Leilani and Geraldine. It's nice to know that I do have sisters of the common traits of born in the indigo round. I believe it was since after 1950 that a lot were recognized as an individual sort of evolved human trait, okay? And I did want to share with both of you that I, too, have noticed as a child myself, where my mother found me distinctly different from others, where I was preoccupied. I could very well follow and do things where other people were afraid to take chances. I took them. And even today, I find myself getting really in tune with a lot of the elements that are around me, especially like with crystals, like doing things that normally, you know, all of us would have to have training for. I adapted to because it stimulated me.
Mm-hmm.
But even like through education, all my years going through education, there was a lot of things that I found simply boring to others that were challenging.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can guess and see that you do find that common in traits. And it's amazing because I really wasn't aware of this, the indigo family or crystal children, if you want to call them, until the 1980s. And I always thought that.
Yep.
You know, I was
that's when people started talking about it. That's when it started getting big. I know in our generations, I'm 40. I turned 40 this year.
You young chicken, you.
Going to school. going to school. I went to Catholic school. I was raised in a Roman Catholic Italian neighborhood. And I don't remember there being anybody else like me around me. My older brother is very spiritual. And my mom was into things when I was younger, and I think part of the reason why I kept my spirituality and I didn't subvert a lot of things was because of the way my mom handled things.
Mm-hmm.
She was different, and she always encouraged us to be different. Don't deny your uniqueness. You know.
Well,
you
my mom did as well,
proud.
But she also used to condemn me for having times where I made premonitions or predictions, and I told her, hey, you know, like, for example, I never met my grandmother. Well, when she came off the plane, I described her plane number and described what she looked like. My mother goes, oh, you are, she says, maybe we have gypsy in our family because you're definitely a witch. And then she always said, maybe I should take you to the pastor because there's something wrong. But I would definitely have, like, things that would be in the house that she'd lose. I would find them. like things that other people would lose. I'd be like, well, check this out, and I'd be there. And it used to
see, now that's a good
a
gift, because most of the other psychics I know don't have that gift. So if you want to email me with your number later, whenever anybody calls me or emails me about finding stuff, I will refer them to you. You can make a lot of money doing that.
Oh, really?
Just
hey,
so.
You and I have to talk. And but it just was fascinating, because at first when I did this, it used to amaze myself, and I'd be like, and I asked you for one point, believe, well, maybe I am possessed by a demon. And I used to get really freaked because my mom was a devout Protestant. My father was a devout Catholic, and they were like, taboo kind of thing, you know. But then after, when I grew up to be an adult and she sort of recognized that it was a spiritual element with me as well, because I did connect her, I never read the Bible. And I would definitely, you know, repeat things that are in the Bible that I've never read. And again, it was just something that was, you know, again, I'm sure you can relate to all of this. It's just fascinating, and I'm really glad and happy to know that we're not alone in this, and we're not strange, we're not deformed, and we're not weirdos, and so on and so forth. And, you know, nobody's going to burn me in the stake anytime soon. Well, at least I don't smell any smoke yet.
We could not, yeah. You know, knock on wood.
Well, let me ask you something, Dori, because, you know, you as a mother having a sensitive child yourself, what were some of the observation as you were, you know, nurturing your own child into the adult world?
Well, that's a good question, and I wanted to share that with you, and I'm glad you brought that up. My daughter had actually had the ability to say things, well, like, for example, when she was 4, Mommy, answer the phone. Why? The phone's not ringing. 1 minute later, the phone would ring. You know, or she would say, I know what you got me for Christmas. And she would know exactly, you know, and then she would be I found her to be more compassionate and more empathetic. Is that the correct word I'm using? But where not only she would connect with the person's pain, not feel it, she would actually be able to separate herself from that at a very early age, which I have noticed a lot of people still in the adult stage of recognizing that ability would have time to actually say, well, I don't know how to take myself away from sharing their pain. But she automatically does. Today, when she just turned 25, which was going on a month ago, we went down to Texas to see her. And for the first time, I was very impressed that my daughter is actually able to see orbs, what other people can't see other than with the camera. She can see with her naked eye, which I'm like, dang, Chantal, you're really good, Google. But she still has good insights and intuitiveness, and she still finds herself agitated because, like, her job is boring to her. Mm-hmm. So, again, I try to direct, and she's trying to direct herself now in the adulthood to try and find something that appeases her in that category. But like Leilani, I think it was you or Leilani had stated that a lot of them, especially our offsprings, are actually more agitated as more technology becomes easier. They become easier to adapt it to, and it's actually becoming bored. I don't know if you asked to find that. And it's fascinating. I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? You want to invent something? You know? Because that's basically
what they find. Well, like my daughter's 11 years old. She's writing a series of books. She has 6 books in her head. And she's already writing it down. She's drawn all the characters. She was originally talked about doing a graphic novel, but now she's talking about doing an illustrated novel as opposed to a graphic novel. And it's just fascinating when she tells me, like, these different storylines, and she's got the whole backstory for each character that she's drawn. And it's just amazing. I feel like such a slacker.
Right. You know? But being that she's 15, I also noticed my daughter in school, she was able, I'm not musically inclined. She was able to play a French horn, taught herself how to play guitar and piano. And I'm like, that's great. Where I have the artistic ability, where I can actually do drawings and paintings from visuals in my mind rather than looking at the object, which some people do. So it's the creative part is in all, I think, of all the children that are born in our era, you know, where we are creative in either literature, art, music, even inventions. If you've noticed, the last 50 years, there's been quite an extent of inventions that are going on with the awe of knowing that this creativity has gone beyond to make our lives easier and better at some point, you know. And another
point,
let me ask you
this as well, Dori, because, you know, through your own observation, what are some of the challenges that you may observe, you know, with these sensitive children that we can contribute to other parents out there that, you know, that could be useful to them?
Well, what I've noticed about my child, and I'm sure that you guys have noticed about your own, and I'm sure most parents, when the child is at a younger age, I'm talking between 7 and 12, I find them finding very difficult to adjust to simple things, to simple responsibilities. a lot of indigo children resort in becoming, I'm not going to say all of them, but some of them either become a neat freak or a slob. So if your child displays those manners, no, she's somebody can relate with me here.
I pick the slob. I just said, you know.
And I wanted to let you know I'm the neat freak.
See, and that's me. That's me with my daughter. I'm the neat freak, and she's a slob. And it's like I walk in her room, and I think, well, when did a tornado hit here? I don't remember the announcement on TV. It's like, it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you see little traits like that, those are the signs to look for. And look for things like when they do, mostly it's attending the education process. A lot of children are noted as gifted when they accelerated the grade. I don't advise that to indigo children or children of special qualities that they pertain, because that, again, puts them in the boredom, and they have a tendency to become displaced. You know what I mean? Like they have to hurry up and grow mm-hmm. out of adolescence to adulthood. That's the only mm-hmm. advice I can give to parents to notice about their children. So be patient with them. Gradually let them go with the flow, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense. Because that's the only way. Yeah. They need to appease themselves. And they find that, like you, I, and Leilani, we found our comfort zones probably mm-hmm. more at a later age than our children are, and their children mm-hmm. will, and so on and so forth. And I really believe...
I think I'm still looking for mine.
But I really believe as our children have their children, and their children have their children, I really think we're going to notice quite an evolution in this category, you know, where actually there'll be no need to be trained on anything in any sorts in any way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, my daughter, at 8 years old, just spontaneously started reading palms.
Oh, awesome, awesome. And you know what?
Just spontaneously, I grabbed this girl that she knew who had been helping her at school, who was like 18 or something. I was like, Mom, I'm trying to tell her that this, and this, and I'm like going, what? What is, where is this right now? Like, what are you doing? What is going on?
You know, you, right, and you grab the whole thing.
And it was awesome.
It is.
Just
awesome. And you grasp it and you say...
And she's gotten, my daughter has gotten gigs here and there where she'll go in and do palms and she'll agree to do the kids mm-hmm. and then she gets bored with the kids. She mm-hmm. said, everybody's got the same problem. It's always a bully at school. She said, what's up with that?
So what I noticed with my daughter as well, she can actually, without educating or looking it up or Googling it, she can actually comprehend other religious and other political values in other countries. Again, maybe mm-hmm. it's no big deal to us, but for her it's an instantaneous comprehension. It's like, you know, she validates things. She also determines, and quite frankly, I have to be honest with you, she has even determined the outcome of, you know, political differences and political mm-hmm. Management. She has, like, resolutions that she likes to express on paper as well as in the mm-hmm. song. You know, I find her doing a lot of poetry, which, again, like your daughter with the literature, and it's mm-hmm. very, I have to congratulate your daughter on the book writing. That's awesome.
Oh,
you'll never be poor, lady. I'll tell you what.
I want to get her on the show. When she gets done with writing those books,
I'm serious.
Bring
that'll
her
be
on.
Awesome.
I want to have her on the show.
Yeah, I asked her if she would come on today, and she's like, absolutely not. I was like, why? People aren't interested in what you have to say. She said, you only get, she says, I only have this one shot of being a kid. I want to be a kid as long as I can. I said, okay.
You see the wisdom in that, and you know that that's a projection that we are destined to have peace when we have children that absolutely think in that, you know, pacifist category. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you got it going on, girl. You go, girl. You go, boy. You know, that kind of thing. You can very well extend your excitement, you know, your revelations with them, and they're like, yeah, don't sweat the small stuff. You know, like, yeah, this is still working out well, you know. So it's like, and they also adapt to, like, a live, let live attitude. And they also
and my daughter were very, she really, injustice just really, really bothers her. And at school when she's picked up a lot of her friends by defending them from bullies.
Oh, God.
And to her, it does not matter how big the bully is or how powerful he thinks he is or she thinks she is. It does not deter her from standing up for herself or for whoever's around her.
And I am the same way. And that, again, the pacifist category.
Do we have to go there, ladies? Because I am so big on unjust Oh,
well, that's
my
called sound. That's called sound logic. And I have to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen in the room, that sound logic is projection of evolution with our ability to adjust and to comprehend and so on and so forth. And this, again, is something that they carry as a stronger trait in. They recognize that. They recognize that as the solution to almost anything, of having that sound knowledge to decipher and decide what's right and wrong with the immediate consequences, with immediate results. And that works good for me. How's it working out for you guys?
<You know? laughs> We'd be dangerous if the three of us got together.
Oh, my goodness.
I sure do want to thank you, Dory, for calling into the show.
Most very welcome, and it's been my pleasure, ladies.
Great conversation. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, and
thank you
to both of you. You're very welcome. Hey, I'm checking out the book, woman. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. I'd like to take a moment, if I may, and share some additional websites with each of you tonight, and that's healers, with an S, in Hawaii.com. We also have spiritualparents.com, and also Gia Hawaii online.com. Thank you. Online. Sorry. And I also want to encourage all of you that, and remind you as well, is that I have all those links posted up on my show page with bbsradio.com. The email address, is it all right if I give that out?
Sure.
Thank you. And that is G as in good, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, joe@hotmail.com. There is an additional email address, and you will find that posted as well on the show page. So let me ask, Geraldine, you're going to have to come back to the show, young lady.
Sure.
So share with us further any of events or whatever what you've got going on your end.
One of the things, I go to Unity Church at Diamond Head in Hawaii, and currently, intermittently, I've been teaching the unit teams, which is from 8 years old to 13, but we have kids who are wanting to linger in our class because it's so cool. And it really shocked me because I first started, I came in as a guest, and we were talking about, well, we were meeting our angels. We were doing a meditation and everything. And the kids started asking me about ghosts, and they were asking all these different questions. It was really cool. So then they asked me to come back. And I thought for sure that the parents were just going to be like, what are you teaching my kid? we're in church. What are you doing? And instead of getting that kind of response, I actually, a lot of parents came up and thanked me and told me that they really wanted their children to learn psychic development. Because they're at that age and at that stage where they're either going to use it or lose it, where it's either going to go become an emotional roller coaster, or they're going to learn how to handle it and utilize their skills. So the parents asked me to come on a more regular basis to teach the kids meditation, psychic development, psychic self-defense, and grounding, things like that. And so that's what I did. I was there. I did it for a couple of months, and I go in here and there now. So what's great is that a lot of the parents are beginning to get it. A lot of the parents are beginning to understand that you have to allow these children to develop what they need to develop. Oh, and I had someone ask me a question yesterday. He called and he said he wasn't going to be able to call in today, but he wanted us to address the question. And the question was, if a child's development is stunted, if their parents are very anti-psychic or whatever you want to call it, very grounded, will that child lose their abilities? And if they don't lose them, how difficult is it for them to regain them as they get older?
Yeah.
And my answer to that was that it's like a muscle that atrophies. You can build it back up, you can wake it up, and you can build that muscle back up, but you never get full. The muscle is never fully useful again. There's always a part of it that's lost. So it's always better to try and maintain your gifts rather than try to shut them off completely and then wake them back up. I remember as a child that I could see ghosts and things like that, full-form apparition, whereas I very, very seldom can see that now. And it's because when I was a teenager, as I was going through that stage, I lost it. I shut everything down because it became overwhelming for me because I didn't have anybody that I could talk to, that I could go to say, okay, how do I get this to stop, or how do I lower this or do that kind of thing? And everything that I do, or the majority of what I do, I can't say everything that I do, but the majority of what I do is self-taught and is taught by spirit. I go into meditation, I ask spirit how to do things, and they'll give me instruction.
And it is given to us, yes.
Yeah, and that's the way I've done everything. I've not really had too many teachers, except people who pop out of the air, you know, when I'm asking something, and all of a sudden they're talking to me about it and telling me the answer. You know, which is like an angel in disguise anyway, but I've had that happen a few times.
I do apologize. Yeah. We are running out of time. Can you believe it? An hour has already gone by.
Wow.
But we will have you back on the show, young lady, and it
Thank
has been truly an honor. We are thrilled that you came and shared your wisdom with all of us. We look forward to your return visit with us as well, and maybe we can talk your daughter into coming on to the show also. So let her know when she gets those books written, we'll get her on the show. Thank you for honoring us by your presence tonight.
Thank you very, very much.
It's been a true honor. I also want to remind all of you out there, greatness starts with you. You are the empowerment and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Be kind and gentle to self. Be kind and gentle to others. God bless to each and every one of you. Good night.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you
when you live in a world that says you must.